The Bay Area has a long history with the military that can be easy to forget these days. Take the Presidio. It's the oldest military installation in the American West. Alcatraz? It started as a military prison. In Vallejo, we built nuclear submarines on Mare Island. And all along our hilltops, we once had missiles.
The Department of Defense lifts the curtain of secrecy on the Army's deadly new guided missile, the Nike, named for the Greek goddess of victory.
One of our Bay Curious listeners had heard about these missiles.
My name's Chris Johansson. I live in San Francisco, California.
Chris had been by the Nike missile site in the Marin Headlands. It's a museum now.
I had done some reading, and it was always my impression that the site had the ability to be equipped with nuclear missiles.
But one thing had always eluded him.
But I wasn't sure if they ever actually had nuclear missiles in the headlands themselves.
The short answer, oh yeah, there were missiles, and they were armed with nuclear warheads. I'm Olivia Allen Price. This is the Bay Curious Podcast. Today, we're going underground at one of the Bay Area's Nike missile sites. In the 1950s and 60s, there were missiles based all over the Bay Area, not just in the Marin Headlands. There were batteries in Pacifica, Fremont, and San Rafael, just to name a few. They were the last line of defense against an air attack during the Cold War.
Firmly fixed to the launching rail, the Nike is moved into firing position. It is now hot, fueled, and ready for flight.
To answer Chris's question, KQED science editor Craig Miller took him out to the Headlands missile site, known as SF-88.
This is the sound of a Nike Hercules surface-to-air missile rising ominously on a huge elevator from its bunker. They weren't buried in vertical silos like we think of land-based missiles today, but they were laid out horizontally in underground magazines known as the pit.
Okay, come on down, come on in.
Jerry Feit is an Air Force missile veteran who now gives tours of the Headlands site, the only restored Nike battery left in the U.S. He gathers the group in between two Hercules missiles, each about the length of a school bus, but much more sleek, of course. They look kind of like lawn darts on steroids.
You just walked into the magazine for the Nike Hercules now. This is a two-stage missile.
The missiles are essentially shells now, but until the 1970s, carried nuclear warheads with a maximum yield of 40, even 60 kilotons. A kiloton is the energy force of 1,000 tons of dynamite.
A lot of people think we exaggerate destruction and stuff like that, but it was not an exaggeration.
The nuclear warheads on the Nike were variable yield. That means crews could literally dial up the size of the detonation. At, say, 40 kilotons, the young soldiers at SF-88 could, with a single missile, unleash atomic force greater than the bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki combined.
Some people think that's kind of a bit overkill. But if we had to fire, effectively, you're already in World War III, because the Navy and the Air Force hadn't been able to bring them down. The target had been identified, and we're going to war.
But it was nice duty. It wasn't bad duty.
Dave Kreutzinger was stationed here from 1967 to 69.
I came here when I was 18.
By the time he was 19, he was the launch officer.
But every crewman, the oldest guy out here was 28. Most of us were 19.
Their job was to shoot down incoming Soviet bombers, probably whole squadrons of them. That was the perceived threat when the Nikes were rolled out in the mid-50s. By the time Dave was here, the primary threat had shifted to ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. Radar here in the Headlands still swept the skies for 150 miles out, looking for incoming missiles or Russian bear bombers carrying thermonuclear weapons, something that Dave and his crew kind of took for granted.
Actually, you didn't think about it very much. It was, we knew the responsibility of it, but you practice and practice and practice, and there's a lot of testing involved to be sure that you have the mental ability to launch this weapon.
Of course, by the time that happened, the U.S. would already be facing a nuclear attack from those incoming planes. So launching would essentially mean the apocalypse was underway.
We kind of knew, but not, it wasn't on the top of our minds that this was pretty much the end. It wasn't something you thought about all the time.
But in the middle of the last century, nuclear annihilation was something that people did think about a lot.
You are the target of those who would trample the liberties of free men.
This discomforting civil defense film from the 1950s was entitled Target You.
You are in the crosshairs of the bomb site. An enemy is centering on you.
And in the mindset of the Cold War, with the Bay Area's extensive naval presence, that might well have been true.
Our president has told us that even against the most powerful defense, an aggressor in possession of an effective number of atomic bombs could cause hideous damage.
The Army cohort of 120 or so crewing the Nike battery had one primary mission: to try to stop that from happening. A mission that gave rise to the charming motto, "If it flies, it dies." But the Nike crews also knew that launching one of their supersonic spears in anger would likely be their last living acts.
You'll recall that when we took out Baghdad, what did we do first? Shock and awe. We took out their communications, we took out their defensive systems, and we took out their fighter aircraft. In order to take out the defensive system of the San Francisco Bay Area, what do you have to take out first? The 11 Nike Hercules sites that are around the bay.
The Army didn't mince around this fact. They told Dave and his fellow missilemen flat out what their life expectancy would be after an actual launch.
30 minutes. That was kind of the thing that every crewman knew.
And since Dave is still around to talk to us, that pretty well answers another question that Chris had. Were any of these missiles ever launched?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
Thankfully, no. What you're hearing is from a training exercise in New Mexico, though the crews were called to battle stations with regularity. The site was finally decommissioned in 1974, and the Park Service took it over. But Chris had one last shudder in store for him, holding the actual launch keys from those days in his own hand.
Feel a little weird having those, if you were had those in your hand.
It was of that era. You could have been sending the world to world destruction.
So no pressure.
No pressure. No pressure whatsoever.
You're just one of the well.
As more and more Nike sites are constructed across the country, the defense net is drawn tighter, making America safer for you and your family to live and prosper in peace.
That was KQED science editor Craig Miller. Thanks to Chris Johansson for asking this week's question. You can check out the Headlands Missile Site, SF-88. It's open for tours every Saturday. Our June voting round is in full swing right now. If you haven't voted yet, here are your options. Do the water in San Francisco Bay used to be more blue? What causes so many delays at SFO? Or who started the concept of the corporate cafeteria, and would banning them have an impact on surrounding businesses? Head online to baycurious.org to cast your vote for which question you'd like us to answer next. And while you're there, sign up for our monthly newsletter. Bay Curious is made in San Francisco at KQED. I'm Olivia Allen Price.